Today, my title is my title on my sermon is Praise is Don't Let Your Prison Kill Your Praise. We've been in a series called Praise. Pastor has been leading that. It's been an awesome series. Have you guys enjoyed the series on praise? Have you learned something new in praise? Can I have an amen? I've learned some new stuff, and hopefully today I'm able to teach you guys a new weapon that is praise. And so don't let your prison kill your praise. So passage of scripture that I get this, it's kind of weird, but we're gonna roll with it, is Revelation chapter 1, verses 9, and it is the last part of that scripture. It says, "The island called Patmos, on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." That is a weird passage of scripture to talk about prison, but hey, or that's a weird topic to talk about praise, but that last part of that verse, by the testimony of Jesus, that's the praise that John is giving while he's writing this letter to the seven churches. Amen. I bet some of us would wish that we were on an island right now, you know, a vacation island, you know, a nice relaxing time, beach maybe, you know, sitting down in a lawn chair. Amen. Amen. Well, however, the island of Patmos, I'm going to give you some background of this. It's not a nice vacation spot. It was about 50 miles south of Ephesus. It was a prison colony. If the Roman government didn't feel like killing you or making a practical joke or a spectacle of you, they would banish you if you were a threat to the Roman government. So this morning, Oak Grove, I want to ask you a question. What's your prison? Is your prison your finances? Is it your job? Is it this pandemic? What is trying to kill your praise? Well, here's some ways that your praise can kill your prison, talking about this topic. Number one is this: praise God in the middle of the storm. Amen. Praise God in the middle of the storm. It doesn't say praise God at the beginning. That's easy. Amen. It doesn't say praise God at the end, because that's easy too, right? We always give God the glory when we come through a miracle, right? Whenever you're in the middle, that's the hard part. That is the hard, because you can't see the end of the tunnel. You can't get there. You're hurting. You're in a tight space. You're stressful, right? It's hard to praise in the middle of the storm. And one of the most common scare tactics that Satan tries to get you is he tries to get you to be alone. He tries to exile you. He tries to make you think that you're alone in your situation. If he can get you alone and get you in the middle of your storm, then he wins. If he gets you to believe in a lie about yourself, then he wins. Because every lie that is told about you that is negative is just a lie from the devil himself. Amen. If he can get you to believe in that lie, then he wins. If he can convince you that you are no good, that you're stressful, if he can convince you that what you're going through is the only one in the world, then he wins. Praise God in the middle of the storm. Paul says, in all circumstances, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In all circumstances, not for all circumstances, because some of the places that we get ourselves into is because of our own fleshly desires. But in all circumstances, know that this is a trying time, and this is a time for me to learn about my situation and learn how I can praise God in the middle of this storm. Hey, James says that if you're being persecuted, count it as joy. It's going to be a quick message today, because I got to get to this altar, because we're going to praise God today. Amen. So James says, count it all joy. Why? Why would you want to do that? I don't like being stressed. I don't like the struggle. Does anybody here like struggle? I didn't think so. And I don't either. And I'm pretty sure that the devil likes to use struggles in your life that make it hurt worse. You know, likes to make it sting. And James says, count it all joy, because I'm doing something right. You know, Ruth told me about a quote the other day that unpopular gospel is popular to Christ, but unpopular to people. But it's the popular gospel that's popular to people but won't get you saved. So the unpopular is what people need to hear. It's the syringe, it's the knife of the surgeon. It's that kind of mentality that it's one of those where you need to have it. You may not like it, but you need it. The popular is just what can tickle your ear, you know? It's something that sounds good. Oh, I'm my best life now. I'm better off than what I was. I'm not living for Christ, but I'm better than what I used to be. You're fine. You don't have to change. No. That's what people want to hear in this day and age. But there will be a time, Oak Grove, there will be a time where people are getting tired of what they want to hear. They want to hear what they need to hear. Amen. And we are going to be ready. We're going to be that church. And students, I love you. And I know this is probably a little bit of a message that I spoke on last week, if you remember that far back. But I'm going to teach you straight. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear all the time, because I love you too much to leave you where you are. Amen. And Pastor Ron and Miss Melissa, they're the same way. They love you, Oak Grove, too much to let you be the way you are. And so sometimes we're unpopular up here, but we're popular to God because we are helping you in any way that we can. Amen. Number two is this. Praise God in your prison. Well, why? Because we're going to be talking about that today. On the island of Patmos, it's John's prison. It's a prison colony. So the island had a little bit more aesthetics than some of the normal prison colonies. This one had a gymnasium, which I don't know what that's supposed to look like. It had a temple, but the temple was not to God. It was to the goddess Diana. It was a pagan island that the Roman government threw a Christian onto to try to kill his praise. The prison he was on was supposed to be there to discourage him, to make him quit with spreading the gospel of Christ, to try to get him so bent out of shape that he would just give up. Well, that's not what he did. John did not let his prison kill his praise. Even in the midst of his prison, he kept preaching. And we have the book of Revelation. We have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Why? Because he didn't let the prison kill his praise. But if you let your praise be heard unto God and praise him in the midst of your prison, then your praise will begin to break your prison. It's going to be a little bit of a tongue twister, but I've practiced this all week so that I get the right words right. You let your praise begin to lead your life, then your praise will break your prison. But if your prison leads your life, then your prison will break your praise. Practice that. It came out good. Amen. Another scare tactic, he loves to keep you in your prison. Remember the story of Paul and Silas. Let's read it together. Acts 16, 25 and 26. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. My mama said amen. Amen. Because it's hymnals, it's not the contemporary. Right, mama? Love you. I'm going to get in trouble later. I love her. The prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When they began to praise in the midst of their prison began to break. Their chains were broken. Their praise killed their prison. If you begin to praise during your prison, you will kill your prison. Okay. Almost messed up, but I got it. If you praise in your prison won't stand against you. Amen. Amen. Their chains were loosened because the praise from their mouth. Church, if you begin to praise God in the middle of your prison, wow, your prisons can't stand. Amen. Your praise is powerful. Your praise is a massive and a strong weapon, which leads me to number three. And this, if you don't remember anything from tonight, this is what you should. Your praise is a dangerous weapon. Your praise is a powerful weapon. Amen. It's dangerous to the devil. It can't stand whenever you stand up in church and you raise your hand to God and say, hallelujah. I can't sing. I try. But if you just praise God in the midst of your prison, if you're breaking those chains, then it's a dangerous weapon to the devil. The praise killer is constantly throwing you into new prisons. Why? Because new prisons comes with new complications and trying to get you to kill your praise. Because your prison is dangerous. Let's look at some of the names of Jesus and hear some. Almighty Messiah. Almighty Messiah. Redeemer. If you're not shouting amen, come on, you need to start. He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the morning star. He's the bread of life, the Alpha and Omega. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that is just to name a few. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's talk about that real quick. Look at that last name, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion simply means, in Greek, the lion. Shock, I knew I was going to get a laugh out of that. But it also means a brave and mighty hero. Did you know that? It means a brave and mighty hero. And the lion of the tribe of Judah, Judah means he will be praised. So when you say the lion of the tribe of Judah, you're really saying he is a brave and mighty hero of praise. Because your praise is dangerous. Whenever you get to praising God, your prison can't stand because the devil wants to get you to keep you in your prison. But if you praise God, it's a war cry, church. It's not just singing songs. It's not just trying to make a joyful noise or to God. It is a war cry. You're not calling on your own power. You're calling on the lion of the tribe of Judah, the brave and mighty hero of praise. Amen. It is a war cry. It is a dangerous, dangerous weapon. Church, your praise can break your prison. Your prison is powerful if you know how to use it. If you know how to use it. It's not just coming to church, maybe raising a hand. It is a full out praise. It is an inward expression. Praise God in your prison. So what is your prison today? I told you it was going to be short. What's your prison today? Is it stress like I said earlier? Is it your job? Is it your situation? Whatever it is, John was confined to a small, dirty island. Paul and Silas were thrown into a prison, and the prisons back then, they didn't give you 3 square meals a day. They just threw whatever scraps you ate, and you either had to get it before the rats did. You were chained up next to somebody. You were probably stripped of your clothes. It's a nasty, nasty prison. So what's your prison? It may not be as extreme, but to you, it may be crippling. Is it the world pandemic? I'm tired of hearing about the virus. I know we all have to be safe. I love that you guys are wearing a mask, and I understand. I would prefer to wear a mask over the alternative, amen, which could be even worse than what we have right now. So praise God in your prison, because if your prison is hindering your praise, it wins. I know I've said that a lot today. But if the prison is your face mask and it's preventing your praise, then the devil's winning. If you're refusing or if you hate wearing a mask, that's fine. Join the rest of us. But if it's hindering your praise, then that's where the devil's winning and the praise has fallen to your prison. Your praise is a powerful weapon. Worship team, you can come on back. I'm going to wrap it up and put a pretty bow on it, and we can get to the Cracker Barrel before 11. Or Golden Corral, either one of those. I prefer Golden Corral, but I mean, your prison can break your praise if you let it. Your praise can break your prison if you know how to use it right. What's hindering your praise? Change your weapon. If your weapon used to be complain about everything or just deny it or just try to do it on your own, and it's not been working, change your weapon. If you try to do it on your own, if you try to fix it by just staying at home or complaining or just not wearing a mask or just hating everything or complaining, and it's not working, change your weapon. Until you have a weapon change, when it changes to praise, then you'll begin to see the chains fall off. I'm going to share again what Pastor said last week, because it was powerful to me. Two things. If you don't know what you want to pray about, or if you don't know how to pray or praise, and if you don't know, like, what should I praise about, here are two things. One, his attributes. Praise him for his love. Praise him for his power. For his favor on your life and your family. Praise him for his guidance. The second thing is this. Praise him for his acts. Praise him for his acts. God saved my life. God is healing my mother as we speak. She is starting to gain feeling in her right side. Praise him for his acts. If you have a hindrance in whatever your praise is, then start breaking your prison with what you pray, with your praise. Praise him for his acts, for his goodness on your life. Take off the spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise. You stand with us. I'm going to open up these altars. If you want to come down, you can. We have enough room. You can spread out. But at this moment, if you're struggling and if you're stressed and it's a hard-pressed place that you're in, praise should be your weapon. And the best place to praise him is right where you are or right here at these altars. It's not how you praise, it's that you praise. You can praise however you want. Praise is good to God as long as you're praising God. Let's praise him today.